from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcast that when current events get you wound up, this podcast tells you, hey, be kind, and it'll help you unwind. It's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep.
All right, but this is Scoots here. This is where I ask you to, hey, if you think about signing up for Sleep With Me Plus at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, with just a few questions. If you're new to the show, just ignore this message, or if you only listen to Sleep With Me occasionally, or it could be easily replaced by another show, not important. Do you listen to Sleep With Me regularly? Yes. But yeah, does it improve your life in any way at all? And would you miss Sleep With Me if we stopped making it? Like, how much would you be willing to give on an annual basis or a monthly basis to say, hey, go ahead and start that podcast back up? So this is a way of not doing that. I'm asking if the answer to those questions are yes. Yeah, you're a regular listener. Yes, Sleep With Me improves your life. Yes, I could and would pay for the show. If it was missing from my life, I'd pay to get it back. Or if you lost it, like you'd say, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Could you help me find it? And this is a reward, whatever, $120. I need my year of Sleep With Me back. Or you would find a way to support the show if you said, well, now I got to put up a poster. If the answers are yes, we're kind of in that place right now, and the whole podcasting industry is in that place more or less, where it's like, hey, I really need you to think about supporting the show right now if the answer is yes to those questions. So we don't have to go through, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Because I don't want that. I love making the show. It does take a team of people to make the show. So think about it. sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. If you get a lot out of the show and you'd miss it and you'd say, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Sign up for sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. And I'll thank you. Believe me, I'll send you a video and say thanks. Thanks so much. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple. All right, everybody, it's time to talk about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. Do yourself a favor, go to helixsleep.com/sleep and take that Helix quiz. That was about 4 years ago that I took the Helix quiz, got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux, which is a perfect mattress for me and the way I sleep. Because the thing is, the Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux collection, the newly released Helix Elite collection. They have a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And how would you know which one is going to fit you and your body? You just take that Helix sleep quiz. You find the perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new mattress. And here's the thing. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. And that is why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from. Each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. You know, if you're like me, I sleep on my stomach and my side. I sleep a hot, so I want to stay cool. And that's what happened. I took the quiz. I got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux. I love my Helix Dusk Lux. And the way I know is every time I leave town, I cannot wait to get back. That first night back in my Helix Dusk Lux, it's like I'm in a state of sleep bliss. Not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, but setup is fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet. It won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
Hey, up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep. Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that's here to put you to sleep. We do it a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights and press play. I'm going to do the rest. So what I'm going to do is create a safe place where you can set aside whatever has been keeping you up, whether it's tossing or turning, thinking, feeling, sensing, outside noises, changes in routines. The summertime is the time for routine to be interrupted. You could be going to, you know, where your parents are, and that can always trigger you. Say, oh boy. Or one of your, you know, family stuff, you know, or, you know, and it could be excitement. You could be excited, and then you say, well, I can't sleep now. I can't wait to put on that, you know, sunscreen, 55 layers of sunscreen. And, you know, or maybe it's, you know, something more exciting than sunscreen application. Maybe, you know. But whatever it is, I'm going to take your mind off it. What I'm going to do is create a safe place where you can set aside that stuff. Did I say that already? No, it's just picturing sunscreen, slathering sunscreen, smothering sanity, said Scoots. Is it free? Tongue twisters are free, yeah, by the way. But I'm going to create a safe place where you can set aside whatever's keeping you up at night. But take your mind off of that stuff. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing tones. I'm going to muster the, Colonel Mustard. What was he a colonel of? But we'll come back to that. Muster the best intentions I can to scorch you or distract you as you cross over the threshold from wake to sleep. And if you're new here, you know, there's not much of a way. The only get you settled in here. Orientation by deorientation. You know, we don't have a handbook. There's no employee handbook. There's no user guide. There's not many rules on this podcast. You can kick back. You can listen. You can actually listen at any volume you choose. That comes with this modern technology we have. You control the volume, but you can just kind of listen. You can listen totally. You can put the pillow over your head and say, is he still talking? But the whole idea about the podcast is you can't think about two things at once. Whether that's been proven or not, I have no idea. It's just something that I say that's, I think this podcast is, or it's easier. Let's see. Like, the whole idea is I'm going to take your mind off stuff. I said that a few times. I'm going to tell a bedtime story. Tonight I'm going to kind of talk about bedtime stories, like the one we just did, and how I pro. So it'll be like a, it'll be like the last day of class, with one of those, with a professor that would make a boring podcast. The only difference between me and your professor, that professor is, well, one, I don't have any advanced degrees. Two, I don't have class. I've been told that, you know, I don't have a class either. I wish I had a classroom. I'd love that. Though I'd probably, I mean, I'd be so distracted. It would be like, man, I never walked up this aisle here, but I would like one of those classrooms with the, where I'm lower than the class. I don't know, what are those called? I remember, I mean, those are always, you see them in the movies, and I think I only had one class when I went to university or whatever. I think chemistry of art, you want to talk about not advanced degrees, that's what, chemistry of art, that was one of my, that was my science class. But that class was in one of those ones with the stadium style seating. I would like that because, maybe give me some room, you know. I do a little, you know, going up the stairs, probably get in some fake jogging, you know, work the room. I don't know about the teaching part. That's why, you know, I haven't been hired by any universities. Believe it or not, even DeVry won't take my calls. I don't even know if DeVry's still around. You know, it just is totally unrelated to anything I was talking about. But you want to talk about getting your money's worth in advertising? Anybody that advertised in 11 Alive, WPIX, New York Superstation, in the 1980s, you've got every penny you deserve. Because DeVry We've got Carvel Ice Cream, Milford Plaza, the Lullaby of Broadway, Craftmatic Adjustable Beds. There's probably like 50 more things. I'm still trying to purchase some of those. But I see, geez, I got to get one of those. The heck was his name? I talked about it a couple of years ago. Whale. What was the whale? The whale that Carvel made. I don't know. It'll come to me. Poconos. I've still fantasized about going to the Poconos. I mean, definitely the Milford Plaza, but I think I actually went to the Milford Plaza. Or maybe I just went on like Travelocity or something and said, well, it's a. If you don't have 11 Alive, it was just a station that I watched. You know, I watched a lot of TV as a kid. More TV. You know, I did. This whole podcast, we owe so much to that to 11 Alive and all those other stations I may have watched. We owe a lot. Those stations form the podcast. The podcast that puts you to sleep. Sorry if you're new here. I don't know what happened. I think my brain, like, wanted to slow the podcast down because I think I was headed towards some sort of, the first metaphor I had, I think I can't get my brain to recover that one, but it said, hey, let's distract Scoots with a little 11 Alive commercials. You know, he won't be able to get his bearings again because he'll still be trying to think of what that cake name was on Carvel. And I'm like, you're right, brain. I can picture it flying around saying, it's old Duffy, old Duffy. Like, because they had a St. Patrick's Day cake. And I say, who gets a St. Patrick's Day cake, you know? I say, well, like, geez, if it's mint, I probably would. I still can't think of it. Carvel ice cream. I don't know. That's kind of irritating. I can picture the cake is talking to me, floating above me like a 1970s high school portrait. Floating over my shoulder is a cake with an ice cream cone nose and two eyes made out of sugar. Carvel ice cream cake person whose name I can't recall. You're dripping on me, so please get out of my imagination. I'm not supposed to sing at all. Sorry about that, folks. Normally I don't sing, but it's only like 6 or 7 minutes in. So believe it or not, this is a podcast to put you to sleep. Oh, boy. Television, you know, say, geez, they should get some scientists on this and say, well, Scooter kind of, and they say, well, it's just that's a one-off case. You can't prove anything. And they say, well, this is the benefits of TV. People are reaping the benefits of me watching too much TV as a boy and a young man and a man and then a boy man. And then an infantile, you know, whatever. And then a boring podcaster saying, well, look at that. Look, great job, TV. 11 Alive. 11 Alive, we have so much. I guess I already did that. But the whole idea of Spike is you can't think about two things at once. I think I said that. Then I did a limerick, or not a limerick, a tongue twister. And then I got distracted by 11. But the whole idea is I'm going to take your mind off stuff. You don't have to think about anything else. You don't have to listen to me, which also under no obligation to fall asleep here. What I'll do is I'll talk a little while about our last series, Get Besos, and how I think it went, and maybe some story-based stuff. It'll be just my thoughts rambling. So, you know, who knows? I don't even know if I could recall the whole season. I'd have to get some computer help for that. But if you have trouble falling asleep, you wake up in the middle of the night, it takes you a while to get down. You're out of town. You're traveling. Someone that you share bed with is traveling. Your routine is off. You changed shifts. Your kids moved back in, or they're home from school, or you're home from school. Hey, they used to throw me off, any of those things. I'm just here to take your mind off something. I'm going to be a little bit silly. I'm not going to make a whole lot of sense. I'm going to take a while to get into any points, but you know, I'll try to do it the nicest way I can. And it's just, you say, okay, if something else is keeping me up, whether it's physical, emotional, or mental, you could just listen to me ramble. Usually these are a little bit more, I don't know, I guess I'm like, this intro is not totally coming together, but I could just try to slow down and talk a little slower. Ideally, that Carvel ice cream cake will come into my brain of what it was called. It had like I think it was two syllables. And I know anybody, I'm sorry, everyone that was born and raised in the anywhere within the region broadcast area of 11 Alive. Because if you watch it like I did, you probably saw, you know, between the Craftmatic adjustable bed, Milford Plaza, and the Carvel, I probably seen a million of those, you know, 250,000 each. So 750,000. Ads for those, and they say, really, Scoots, there's not that many days. I say, okay, well, yeah, I watched a lot of TV. I did. I wish I could think of, like, well, what other commercials there were, or if that cake would come in. Well, there was a whale, and then there was the Cookie Puss. That was the name. Oh, boy, there we go. What a sweet name, too, Cookie Puss. So that was the name of the ice cream cake figure. And Cookie Puss would get to, so for the 4th of July, I'm sure Cookie Puss would have a top hat. And then that's it, like some, you know, red, white, and blue stripes. I don't know what you do. I guess you do dye the ice cream different colors, but what flavor ice cream would you have for the 4th of July? Freedom, you know, I heard you, you know, internal whatever. Patriot. Oh, sorry. You call yourself the internal patriot. Really? I don't think you're a part of my personality. You definitely are. So you have freedom cake, freedom ice cream. Okay. On 4th of July. How about some patriot punch? You'd love that? Well, yeah, I wasn't talking about the kind you drink. Now get out of my recording studio. Sorry. I just kicked a part of my brain. I'm pretty pleased with myself there. They said a part of my brain said it eats freedom cake. I said, did you hear? I guess you did hear because I'm recording. So it's the kind of person that records a sleep podcast. They say, geez, I didn't realize I had a part of me that was so patriotic. And there's nothing wrong with patriotism. I'm just kidding around here. You know, I don't want to make Cookie Puss frown. Lionel Kitty City, that was another one. Lionel Kitty City used to turn your frown upside down. Until Toys R Us put them out of business. Toys R Us, they also advertised on 11 Alive a lot. I think they had Joffrey, who was the main man at Toys R Us back in the day. So that's it. This is a podcast to put you to sleep. Every once in a while, you know, that's how the podcast works. They say 11 Alive, and then I can't. So I'm going to talk about the season of Get Past This. If you've never listened to a podcast episode, it might be interesting. I already figured the big dilemma of the podcast was, would I remember Cookie Puss, which I did. But I'll be talking about the season of Get Bezos, kind of how, what I think about story in this case, what I thought worked, what didn't, what maybe I'll do differently next time. So, you know, you could just kick back and listen. He really put... And yeah, this is where it gets Sisyphean for y'all. So yeah, you know, strap on your Schadenfreude. Schadenfreude strap on. Oh boy, that I can't even, my brain doesn't even want to, but I think it would just be, I think it would be strapping it on your chest, you know, not on your waist. I don't know why you would, it seems like it would do, that's where it, it takes place in somewhere between your gut and your heart. Believe me, but if you like laughing with Scoots or at Scoots, you'll get it, you know, or just saying, oh, of course, you know, that'll all happen because I'll be talking about this season of Get Past This. So I appreciate you coming by. If you're skeptical, you know, I'm just going to do my best to take your mind off stuff, hopefully help you fall asleep. So I'm glad you're here. And I really yearn to carry off into dreamland. So I appreciate it. Housekeeping. I want to thank Chris Posty Posterson from Sounds Like an Earful, who edited this show, does the theme music. He's got podcast Sounds Like an Earful. Get over there, check it out. I want to thank Scotty and Jennifer on our artwork. I want to thank Jonathan Mann on our lullabies. If you want to commission a song from Jonathan for a family member, a special occasion, or something related to work or business, go to jonathanmann.net. We've got a Facebook group over at sleepwithmepodcast.com/nods, N-O-D-S. I want to thank our moderators over there, Laura, Julie, Jennifer, Lida, Summer, and Sarah. And then we've got a subreddit, sleepwithmepodcast.com/reddit. And that is it. Let's get on with the show.
All right, everybody, it is time to talk about tonight's sponsor, ZocDoc. And I think all of us have that family member that you tend to change the subject or kind of bend the truth around when they start asking, you know, for life updates. Oh, why are you still living at home? Oh, when are you doing this? Oh, what's your job again? What do, and while grinning and bearing it with relatives like that is considered polite, there's no way you should be doing that with your doctor. You know, when you have questions or your doctor's asking you questions about your life, you want to have someone you feel comfortable enough to be honest with. And that's where ZocDoc comes in. ZocDoc is a place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable and actually listen to you. And we're not just talking about a few. We're talking about tens of thousands of doctors, all with verified patient reviews. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. No more waiting awkwardly on hold with a receptionist. And just like I said, we're talking about booking appointments with tens of thousands of top-rated, patient-reviewed, credible doctors and specialists. And you can filter for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're looking for. And the typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 to 72 hours. That's it. You can even score same-day appointments. And I love hearing from listeners who have tested out ZocDoc, whether they've gotten new insurance, they've moved to a new area, because they found out the same thing I have, how easy it is to use and how great it is to see all of your options. So we've tested it out. You should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/sleep and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/sleep. 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 Thanks, everybody. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com. to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, so hey everybody, this is Scooter, and I'm talking about this season of Get Bezos, which every week I started off with trying to summarize the plot of two seasons of Get Bezos, and that in itself became an interesting kind of learning experience and experiment. And for anyone that's new, I guess this would be a good place as any to start before, or after, or even in the middle of listening to however many episodes a season. Like, I'm recording this now, and the last episode still hasn't aired. The second to last episode came out, but not the last one. So that'll be interesting to see. But if you're new here, or if you've been listening, this is something new. I've only done one other time before, which was kind of look back at the story that was just told. Or maybe I'd done it a couple other times. But it's interesting for me because the podcast consumes so much content and it's constantly moving. I really don't have the ability to take any time to kind of reflect on the show because I'm already writing what's going to be next and constantly having to produce and write stuff. I said, well, maybe it's procrastination too. I said, well, let me take a day and kind of write up with some of the stuff that worked and didn't work. But by talking about it, it helps me kind of see. I don't know. I guess I'm better sometimes at talking about stuff. And I know some people like to hear the story stuff, and other people it'll be a good thing to sleep to because I'll take my time and ramble. So Let's see. So I guess this is, I wouldn't say it's self-indulgent. It actually is a necessary thing, because I think I learned some very valuable things from this season. And maybe some questions like, can something be too boring, were answered, and how structured do boring serial stories need to be, and how much time needs to be spent outlining them versus telling them? Because this, what happened was, and this was the first season where I went right into it. I mean, like I said, it's really hard to find any time between my day job and producing the podcast for anything. And I guess it's just an aside of outside the story. Some people may say, well, why don't you take a week or two off? And I think I really can't do that because I have taken weeks off, but I'm still producing one or two episodes. Just because it's not as easy as just producing three episodes and then they come out, and to cut back on production. Like, if I was ever to cut back on production for 2 or 3 weeks, I would never be able, even if I was working on the podcast as my only job, I don't think I would ever be able to get to 3 episodes again. Just because it takes an incredible, not only an incredible amount of work, but finding the time for it and stuff like that. So it's almost like when the car is working, I'm like really worried about ever futzing around too much, because I think it would impede my ability to keep making 3 episodes a month, which is what I feel, or a week, which I feel is where the podcast is best for people to fall asleep to it, and best to where I feel good about what I'm making and challenged, and that there's some magical interplay beyond my understanding with the deadlines and the creative aspect of the show. But those things can also cause creative difficulties, which I think we saw with this season at Get Bezos because of the schedule and mistakes I had made, which I kind of talk about. Like, I didn't really pre-outline. I didn't take any weeks to pre-outline this season at Get Bezos to say, okay, like in our few previous series, even all the way back to Superdoll. So I don't know how many series it's been since then. That was in the hundreds. Like, I've taken 2 or 3 or 4 weeks, not off, but off of serial stories, and either done something shorter, like, or like not as written, like I don't know, tough to explain, but where I was not writing every day on a story that had to be created later in the week. And so with Get Bezos, I just didn't really have the time. And the other times I'd done it, I kind of felt like I couldn't find a good balance. Like, because there's never a luxury with this podcast of time, then when I had the luxury time of like 4 weeks to plot something out, I was wasting that time procrastinating or using it to do other kind of research or talk to listeners on social media or whatever. So with Get Bezos, I said, okay, let's just try it the other way. Let's just go straight into it. We have some general ideas, and I kind of spent some time getting it out. But other than that, I was like, let's just start telling the story. Let's not take any weeks off from the serial stories and do two trending Twitter Tuesdays or whatever. Let's go right into it as fast as we can. And they created some big, big difficulties with the show. I mean, obvious, most of the biggest, which is that lasted 22 episodes, where I usually shoot for 12 to 14. And then sometimes it takes me 16 or 17 to complete the season. But I feel like the seasons are better at that level, ideally like a 12 to 14 episode season. And I also realize if you're new here, you don't really listen to the podcast, this sounds insane. And I just say, well, this is exactly, this is the kind of person that makes this kind of podcast. A person, I'm fully aware of my delusion. And I find it necessary to make the show. I fully embrace my delusional side, I guess. I take making this podcast way too seriously, for sure. But it's serious business to me. So my internal critic, I think that was a visit from my internal critic. But so I do like the seasons to be a little bit shorter, because I think it forces me just to make them a little bit tighter. And this one was not tight at all. And the other luxury you don't have is that an episode gets written in a week, and that's all the time there is. So, and usually I only have a half hour a day max to write, like on the train ride to work and on the train ride from work. And then on Saturday and Sunday mornings, when I wake up, I normally write for a half hour. And it takes all that time just to make, I mean, it's a miracle I can get the episode done, and it's usually pretty, I'm usually pretty freaked out and stuff, though sometimes it comes together. So that also, anybody that does any kind of creative stuff will be able to relate to this. Like, so I didn't have a really structured out season, and then on top of that, I was really stressed outside of the story about the future of the podcast and stuff. And I was overthinking and overworrying, and I let that also invade and affect the writing. So I didn't have the story, the overall story structure to kind of use as a way to reassure me. And then I was already stirred up, and I think this was like one of those good life, like writing lessons where I said, geez, like, I don't know, like, I've learned a new, like, usually it's like, oh, I'll just, well, no, I got something else. Like, I used to have a strict rule on the train, right for the train ride. As soon as I sit down, I pull my notebook out, I start writing until I get off. And now that's been like a muscle memory thing. But this season, I noticed my mind would start to wander. I say, well, let me worry about this or let me worry about that instead of focusing. Sorry, but I get distracted. I think someone's jumping rope in the apartment above me. But I was talking about being emotionally kind of distracted or just like having other stuff in your mind and not being focused on the writing. And I guess what's curious about that is a chicken or an egg situation, because it's like, well, is it because the story structure wasn't structured enough? Or was it because I wasn't focused enough? Or was it both things? And I think it was a yes to both. It's like, okay, well, I need to be a little more disciplined about my focus because I have enough to, my tools aren't all sharpened, but I have enough tools I could use to say, well, geez, let's just work on this or let's just try, you know, what are 50 things that could happen here? Let's just write those out. So that's one part of it. Another part of it is just dealing with my own, you know, stuff and not letting that creep into the writing. And then two is like, okay, the story structure wasn't there for this episode, like this series. And, you know, the concept was, so season one was Richard Warren Sears and James Cashpenny are in purgatory. Richard Warren Sears decides he wants to go to Earth and get Jeff Bezos to make him pay for ruining their retail empires. And then that's what that's the conceit. And then they go to Earth to try to get Bezos. And it was always going to conclude with him getting Bezos, not at the end, but and then realizing, oh, that's not, wasn't satisfactory. And then, you know, whatever. That one wasn't super plotted out either, but that was like the first, like, or second series I ever did that was completed. But I just loved that Richard Warren Sears and James Cashpenny were kind of best friends and kind of different, and I really liked the characters. And then I saw Brad Bird speak, and he was kind of talking about Tomorrowland and these utopian visions of the future and how everybody's into dystopias and why doesn't people, and I just kind of took it. I guess he was just trying to be, I think, and he was pushing people at this talk he was giving, and, you know, against what he felt like it was lazy storytelling. And I took it, I said, okay, I said, geez, that's a great, I mean, I like being challenged like that. And I said, okay. And then I said, and I had been sitting on James, the Richard Warren Sears and James Cashpenny and being like, I really want to tell another story with them. But I didn't know what the story would be since the season concluded with them taking over hell with Jeff Bezos. I was like, what the hell do you do after that? But then I said, okay, this utopia. And I said, that could be challenging if the conceit of this story was that there's a utopia on Earth. And I kind of took Brad Bird's thing and I said, oh, what would we do? And I said, well, what could be more boring than a utopia, right? Like, and I said, what if it is a real utopia or a near utopia? So there can't be one of the rules of the story. I said, well, what if one of the rules of the story is you can't screw around with the utopia? Like, the utopia can't be a false utopia or a cultish utopia or a cover-up utopia, you know, or a shiny thing covering, you know, black mass or whatever. Like, it has to be a real utopia. And I said, oh boy, how do we get a real utopia? I said, okay, this is an interesting challenge. And at some point, I don't know if I thought before that or after that, I said, okay, this would fit with Richard Warren Sears and James Cash Penny, two people that are totally unqualified to be in a near utopia. And then I said, well, geez, a utopia would be without some most conflict. It would be within. I said, okay, that's a nice contrast with hell. And then you can kind of see where the story went. I said, okay, well, that would be, if there's a utopia, they wouldn't be sending anybody to hell, probably. Based on a kind of Catholic Judeo-Christian kind of viewpoint is what I'm using, which I had, you know, I was when I went to Catholic school. I guess I'm a cultural Catholic. You see, I think that's what they say. So it's kind of a lens I view the world through. And I said, well, that would be interesting. So nobody's going to hell. And they said, well, they would need people, you know, you know, if you have a business, if you can't have a restaurant with no customers, they say, okay, let's get these, you know, we're going to have to go get some customers. And they said, well, that would take it. You know, if you had Richard Warren Sears and your utopia, that's going to cause difficulty. So I said, okay, I think we have something here. I think we can work this. And the whole idea was that they would get there, like, but they didn't. Then I said, okay, I just had a general idea of the plot, but not, and mostly just of the story idea, but I didn't have a total conclusion. I kind of had some vague ideas of how it conclude. And I said, let's just start, like, and that's just the fact of this podcast, and it probably will be no matter how much time I have. You're never going to have enough time to do stuff perfectly or write it the right way or whatever. And in this case, it's like his podcast will be able to sleep. So it's like, let's take a little bit of the pressure off. But so then I started just telling the idea and I said, okay, well, let's get a couple. I started to figure out, okay, well, maybe this is the last. Okay, well, why would it be important? If no one was left on Earth, then that would be a pretty important utopia. Like, if that was the last vestige of humanity, that would make sense why hell would need sinners out of there. And then I just started to work in the story, and then I ran into some major problems right away, other than belief systems, utopias, philosophy, you know, all that stuff. Is that when you're trying to do something in a week, and then you have a utopia or like this shiny future, we'll call it a shiny future scape or whatever, you really don't have any time to do any world building if you're going to do any storytelling. If you're writing an episode in whatever, over 30 times 7, 4 hours. And it would be really tough, even if at first I was like, well, I could just go on and like look at other people's stuff. And that's how it started with the Epcot Center. But even then I was like, okay, this doesn't work. Like, this isn't going to work. I don't have one that's not necessarily my skill set of like my mind doesn't work in a design way. And I said, geez, I don't have any research time. So if I was to research to supplement the lack of knowledge and imagination I have in that area, there wouldn't be any time for the story part. And I couldn't just describe stuff for 40 minutes. Even if it would put people to sleep, I wouldn't be able to do it more than 1 or 2 weeks in a row without getting burned out. And so that really caused me some panic and some, I felt down for a while because I said, man, what am I going to do here? And it's also kind of like disappointing because you're like, man, I have this whole utopia, this ultra modern, beautiful future. and everything. But I said, well, the audience will be able to fill that in. And I kind of went to the old filmmaking thing of like low budget movies are shot on contained sets. And I said, well, that's what I'm going to have to do. That's going to have to be the solution to this season, is we will see very little of this utopia. Just like if you're shooting a movie on a budget, I said, I'm going to have to keep these in rooms, and maybe we'll get a couple flashes of utopia, but the audience's imagination will have to provide the utopia for this, you know, the people that are awake, I guess. But you know, like, I don't know, I guess it gets a little embarrassing, but I put this much thought into this, but we'll just have to do it on contained sets, like in a quarantine, outside the walls, in a field, in a water treatment plant. Even that, when I said that was almost a little bit over ambitious, because I had to look through all these different pictures of water treatment plants. And then most of the rest of the season took place in a courthouse and then at a park. And then that was a whole nother layer of trouble we ran into, I think. But also that was like, also like where I was, like, I don't know. I said, okay, well, there's some cool stuff about this, and this makes sense. The small sets will help us. Like, because Richard Warren Sears, he just wants, like, for a little while, I thought it was going to be a little bit like, I thought it would be more the play part would sink in and that we would go with the play. But again, with the budget, in this case, a time budget, I said, hey, geez, I don't know if we have time to do a play. And that felt like a little bit too gratuitous, I guess. Like, and then the courtroom scenes kind of ended up being that way anyway. I felt, and not that I feel totally crushed or disappointed by this at all, but I do feel like we had two or three episodes of spinning our wheels. And one thing was I started to fall behind. I'm just been so overwhelmed that in an ideal situation, this will jump to a broader picture here for a minute, is that, you know, every single week I would record three podcast episodes a week, right? And in a perfect world, I would have like a 2 week buffer. So every Tuesday, if this isn't how the podcast gets done, but that every Tuesday night, I would record an episode for two Tuesdays later. So that if for some reason something happened, there'd still be two Tuesdays and then the Tuesday. And the same for the Thursday and the same for the Sunday. But the reality is I have a full-time job, and then like some weeks I'm just not going to be able to record two episodes. So some weeks I try to record four episodes or three and a half episodes, and some weeks, you know, I can only record two. I don't think I've ever fallen much behind two, because that would just be, it would be a problem. And the Tuesday episodes and the Sunday episodes, when it's not in Game of Thrones season, when I'm watching something that's on Netflix, I can get ahead because I can watch it. But like once Game of Thrones comes in, I'm watching that when it comes out. I don't have early access. So it's like, it just adds this extra time crunch. And then with having to write an episode every week, if you feel like there had been weeks where I fell behind. So I was literally writing, you know, under the gun, recording for the week before. And I was able to kind of use the tropiness of the courtroom scenes to make up an extra week. Like I was able to write two episodes in 1 week because I said, okay, I can do a lot of filibustering. But it's not as gratifying, you know. I say, okay, well, and I think that, so I guess with this next series I'm going to do, which I'm not ready to disclose yet, I am going to take, like I've been working very hard but behind the scenes, and like every spare moment I've like, I have two episodes of a three episode mini season of something that'll come out after this episode. And then I think I'll have one repeat that'll kind of set up the theme, for our next series. So that'll give me 4 weeks of which I'll be on vacation with family and stuff, but to kind of start plotting out this next season, which I've already kind of started to do. And ideally, it'll be a like a 14-episode story or 12-episode. I think probably 4, 8, 12. Yeah, probably like 14 episodes. So we get done after Halloween, like right around Thanksgiving-ish. It would be ideal. And one thing I noticed about this season was like, I mean, as our audience has grown, you know, more, we get more feedback and more people were having trouble getting into Bezos. And I think the length of the number of episodes was one part of it. And the fact that people said, well, geez, I don't know if I could catch up now. It's like I gave a recap at the beginning of every episode, which in itself became like this funny story kind of thing and a little bit ridiculous and probably sleep inducing. But I said, okay, well, you got to keep it to 12 or 14 episodes. And then I said, well, maybe we'll do a procedural. Or, and this won't, well, so the next season series won't be just a procedural. It'll be, it'll have a story arc for the season. But each episode will also be a procedural, but not exactly a procedural, but it'll be self-contained too. Which you say, which one is it, Scoots? I say, well, both. Like, I'm going for both. I think it'll, I mean, it's a sleep podcast, one. But I think, like, what was that? NYPD Blue, I think that was a procedural. So a procedural, just for everybody that doesn't know, is like a show like Law and Order or an Agatha Christie book or something that says, okay, this is what happened in the beginning. Or like those shows, or like Jonathan Mann's podcast, The Song and Us. I think that has an overarching thing too. But it's based on, what was that, time warping stuff, you know, where you, oh, here's the problem. Let's fix it by the end of the episode. And that the show is the procedural. I guess that's what the procedural is. Let's proceed to what is our procedure of fixing this, whether it's ER or Chicago Fire or whatever. And I think that'll be it. I don't know. So we'll see with this next season. And again, there's no guarantees. I'm still breaking at the very beginning stages. So it could be something that I'm like, oh, this just isn't going to work. And then I'll be totally panicked. And this will be something new. And just to give people an idea, like, well, where do the new ideas come from? So this is the second new idea. So I wait for them to come to me. And that's not a joke. I mean, I'm always, like, thinking about stuff and then saying, well, geez, oh, there's a story idea. What do you think about that? Would there be, is that a germ for a trending Twitter Tuesday or just go in the notebook for one day, maybe not a podcast story? Or is it, and the whole procedural idea has appealed to me just because I'm like, I'm not very good at it. Like, it's like this one isn't a mystery one, but that was like the first idea. I said, well, just this could be a mystery. Could we do a detective one? And then I started, and I still wasn't feeling it. It would be a different kind of detective story. And I said, well, I don't know if that's not really in my wheelhouse, one. And that's not like a self-esteem thing. It's just not I don't have a mystery. I mean, my mind is mystery and, you know, it's mysterious. My thoughts are mysterious, but the tautness of making a mystery and solving mysteries is just not my game. But I still had this concept and I said, okay, let me put that on the back burner. Maybe that's going to be our next season. Because it did have a character, and I said, okay, maybe. But I still wasn't like, oh boy, I got to tell this story. And then a couple things happened, and I said, just things I was curious about, and then a couple ideas just collided in my mind. This was not related to this last one. And I said, could we do that as a story? And I said, what about a story like that? And I said, oh, okay. And they said, and I still haven't researched to make sure that it hasn't been done. That's the other thing. I mean, I pitched a couple people on it and they seemed to like it. So, and they didn't say, oh, that's exactly like this. And so they didn't say that because like, so I don't know. I still have to Google to make sure that it's not like, oh, wait, that was a movie. And I said, oh, shoot. So I still have to vet the idea, but I mean, at this point I would be totally crushed, cause it's like, I'm juiced and now I'm like, okay. And so this one, we have kind of a couple of characters and whatever. So that's that. Let's see what else. So I got some notes here. Contained sets, courtroom drama. Yeah. The courtroom drama was fun and I really liked People versus OJ. And, you know, some person over there was very, very nice to the podcast. And it was really inspiring to me. So I said, oh boy, like, once I realized it was, I said, maybe we could do one courthouse episode. But then I kind of got hooked on it because it's, and so then I said, oh, wait a second. In the end, I think we milked that a little bit too much. Lost a lot of, what does that say? Listerine. You know what that is. No time for contained sets, loose overall story structure, too many episodes, tough for new listeners. Oh, not enough relationships, not enough conflicts, and narrative voice. Those are things we could talk about. So let's just talk about the relationships. Yeah, I feel like some of the relationship things I wanted to key on in this series. One was that Jeff Bezos had a son in Bezos, and that Jeff was more attached to Bezos. Like he had been there and had an affair, loving relationship with a woman like years ago. And they had a son together, but he was moving back and forth between hell, and that was somehow, you know, morally or ethically strange. I wouldn't say good or bad, but that he had given birth to his son and that him and James had been secretly funneling knowledge into this last outpost of humanity since its inception to kind of give them technology and stuff for them to flourish. You know, all that got kind of moved away from. But I think that that relationship with Jeff was a missed opportunity with him and his son and the loving aspect, and maybe some conflict could have been there. And then I thought, again, that Richard Warren Sears and Mary Lou would, that didn't work out. But these love stories never do. If I could tell you how many series I've said, well, this one's going to have a B story with a love story. And I say, well, she said, I guess, what could I say? This is not my cup of tea. I'm interested in it, but I can't get it to happen. You know what I'm saying? You know, I just can't find the time to make it work, really. But it was so, I feel like, James and Richard's, even their relationship didn't get quite enough time. Like, I don't know, this season was really, I think it really reflected my psychic state or whatever, my emotional state. It was a little mushy, to be honest, because, I mean, one of the key points is their friendship, which there was some conflict and a lot of the dialogue flowed. I mean, that's one of the problems with second seasons, is that the dialogue is a lot easier for me. So then it becomes a crutch. But I don't know, last of the season, I really was so, so happy with season two of After the Glass Slipper. And maybe that's just because Agatha has such a strong voice and she was dominant, and she was the only recurring character. But I don't know. So the relationships between James and Richard, between Jeff and his son, and then I guess that wasn't planning, but between Skiffy and Megaria, that didn't work. I mean, I really was happy with the interplay between the angels and the humans. I mean, I don't feel like it worked so much outside of a sleep podcast, but it's something that I find incredibly provokes my curiosity is the idea of angels and human affairs and angels versus Greek gods and Roman gods and, are angels infallible, or do they have free will? And then the idea that was also a soother for listeners was, okay, that if it's a Roman, if this was a Roman Catholic story, which it wasn't, it was beyond that to me, or it was kind of a farce of all that, like, or maybe not a farce, I don't want to use that word, but, I mean, the story was farcical, but that was my fault, you know, as a storyteller. But it was kind of beyond one belief system, I'd say. But the idea in the Roman Catholic, where I come from culturally, is that God was on sabbatical. I just kind of feel like people if the bishop was, they'd be like, wait a second. I would probably get excommunicated if I was still going. But just the idea of like, okay, what would happen if the highest power was on sabbatical? What would the angels do? And then are they free will? Like, do they have a choice? Are we the only planet in town? Like, what would they do with all this, you know? And who are they more worried about? Like, if they're not perfect too? So I don't know. With the angels, I just find it endlessly, it just triggers my curiosity. So just thinking about, well, what would they do in this situation? Like, Richard Warren Sears is a interesting character. So it's like, well, how would they deal with Richard Warren Sears? You know, what would the angels do? Or what do the angels think of James Cash Penny? And then I'm not sure at what point I realized how the story was going to end. But then I said, oh boy, okay, that's great. Like, what are the angels going to do now? Like, now that the story's ended, I like ending the story where there's still, it's still, I mean, it doesn't go on, but it keeps me, and I don't think there would be a sequel just at this point, but it's like, what are the angels going to do now? Now they're stuck on Earth. And where the ending feels right to me, that heaven's been de-existed. In a way, I mean, the angel, it's been de-existed in our universe, in our plane of existence, so the angels can never return there. It's gone. Hell's gone. And they kind of just fit with the theme of Bezos, which was this near utopia, because people chose to make it that way. They chose to support each other because everyone else supported everyone else, and that's how the society functioned. Which is a very simplistic version of a utopia, and it wouldn't stand up to hardcore analysis. And it wasn't, I mean, everything I do is influenced by who I am. So I'm not going to say I don't have thoughts about all this stuff, but it's really just that it's a transparency. Like, I'm not as an adept storyteller when you're trying to write something in a week. You know, you're cloaking your beliefs, but there's still there's only so much nuance you can do, I guess. But also it's like, just like, I think someone said, you know, this kind of stuff, like, I'm not a deep philosopher. I'm not. So it's just a reflection of what I think and what makes me curious. I mean, I think that's the most important thing, is it makes me say, But I definitely feel like the lack of spending time and the relationships also reflected that there wasn't quite enough conflict. And I guess maybe I was just overwhelmed. And then again, not having it plotted out enough. I think when I come down to it, and when people say second act problems, like, I mean, this story, I don't even think I had the third act figured out, but it definitely didn't have, I said, okay, they're going to go to Bezos and try to get sinners, and I'll figure the rest out, and then they'll, you know, it'll all get screwed up. And I didn't want to ruin, I mean, I had struggle with, like, should I ruin the utopia or not? Should Richard Warren Sears ruin the utopia? And I was like, I don't know, they kind of be cheating. And, I mean, now who knows what's happening there? They're all on their own now, but they don't even have me. So, I mean, I guess, like, when I think about the stories I like to tell overall, it has to have characters I love, and I mean that in a, not in a sense of, like, I love them in a relational way. I love spending time with them, and they interest me, you know, just like I was at a party with them. Not that I love that they're so great or anything. And Jif, Richard Warren Sears and James Cash Penny, I have great affinity for those characters, and they interest me. And then the story did have an overall idea interest me. If the last vestige of humanity on Earth that's not just surviving, that's flourishing as a utopia, what does this mean for this belief system I was raised in? Or that as a child, like my childhood, that my brain processed, because it's probably not what they were teaching, but what I believed as a kid, which was, if you do something bad, you're going to hell. Like, what would that mean if there's a utopia? Like, I'm sure I probably asked that in a class and I got, you know, in trouble. And I said, well, you're going there now. I said, well, I already knew that. Thank you, teach. But, like, what would that mean if you're running at full, like, humanity? I don't know. Just those are the kind of things that make me curious. And I say, well, what the hell is hell going to do? I mean, it just interests me to say, okay, there's no devil in these stories. They say, what would they say? Okay, nobody's coming down here. We better go get some recruits, you know? And I think that's, you know, that's probably what they would do. But in this one, it's a little more delicate because this is it. This is the last vestige of humanity here. And just the idea of like, yeah, these two best friends that are, you know, James Cashpenny and Richard Warren Sears is a buffoon, you know, they're going to go and they'll probably have different views of, how they're going to deal with this, getting sinners out of a utopia. And of course, James Cashpenny doesn't really want to do that. He wants to keep this utopia safe because he wants to protect humanity. But at the same time, he's a problem solver and he doesn't want his friends in hell to suffer. So he's going to try to figure out a way to resolve the conflict. And I just don't think, there were some pieces there. So I don't feel like this was a disastrous season or anything like that. I think it's just gave me a lot to learn. And, I was happy with the end, but I don't think as we get distance from it, I'll have it like when I think about season two of After Glass Slipper, where I say, wow, I was really proud of that. Like I say, well, this was okay for a sleep podcast. And I was proud I tried out some of these ideas. And then I guess when we get into the last thing is a narrative voice, right? And that's kind of something that's very important to me and that I'm very curious about. And that's like one of the huge advantages of this podcast is not only be able to try out these ideas and not have it be the end of the world when they don't work out, but that I have this huge leeway when it comes to narrative voice. I'm not even sure if that's the right word I'm using, but like the voice of the narrator or who narrates it or the narration style. It's very important to the podcast. It's also very important to the sustainability of the podcast because without a variety in learning, I couldn't possibly keep making, you know, there's no way I could keep up the pace of the work. Like when people say, oh, well, why can't you just read from a book? And I say this, but I like to remind people, it's like, geez, well, there's no way I could do three episodes. Like even reading from a book to record or just to ramble and talk like this for 2 or 3 weeks in a row, it's possible. But after that, it wouldn't, you know, for the other 51 weeks, it wouldn't happen. But so narrative voice, this kind of narrator for this story, I don't know where she came from. But she definitely was an unexpected narrator. I was very happy with her role and, you know, that she kind of became her own character and kind of started making her own choices right away, a lot of which I wasn't happy with, which is good. I mean, if anything, I like a character, you know, to create, I guess like maybe, and she was reacting to the lack of conflict in the story, but she was creating conflict with her, at least her kickoff narration, which was nice. She would create the conflict and problems at the head of it. And then once the story started, she was mostly staying out of the way. And I'm just always curious, like that's not something I plan out. It's something I think about. And sometimes, or I say, oh boy, I didn't think about it. So like Roberta Claus had this stronger, more neutral narrator is what I remember. I don't even know if that's true or not. Then Lady Witchbeard had Germ doing the narration, which was a character in the story. And then before that, Agatha did the narration. She was in the story. And then Gep Essos, the first season, was like a third-party narrator, a neutral narrator for the most part. And believe it or not, for Roberta Claus, originally I'd wanted to do like an NPR-style narration, like a collection of story bits, but it just wasn't possible with the time we had, writing-wise and editing-wise and just planning out voices and stuff like that, just not to make sure we got enough time, just wasn't going to happen. But yeah, so this next story will have a different style of narrative of voice, I think, and I don't know if it'll work. Like, that's the other thing is, like, another benefit of this show is that I can change it a little bit or tweak it, which I think is what happened in this season. But I think it's just such I just feel so lucky as a storyteller to be able to have this kind of freedom and to be able to be learning all this stuff, and just be like, man, I can make it like, I do honestly feel like, and I guess that's the argument I presented tonight, is that we may have this, we found like a place, and we found in other places too interesting or too boring. But the middle of this season of the, like, yeah, the, like, between, I don't know which episodes, it was too boring and too long and not enough conflict and not enough character conflict and not plotted enough. And I think that caused, and some of the episodes are, like, even the downloads reflect that. I mean, not all of them, but, like, one or two episodes are significantly lower. Well, not significantly, like a couple thousand lower, where it's like people were like, well, I could skip that one. I missed it. Like it was on, like it was by a holiday. And I don't know, those are just theories, but I honestly think, okay, like the show can be too boring or if I'm not engaged, I don't know. It's just like, how lucky am I though? To have this leeway and then say, okay, well, I can still make it, I can still fit in the role of the podcast, but I can make it a little bit better next time. I can learn, but I also don't have to give up or quit or throw everything away. Cause even in the middle of the season, I was kind of panicking. Like I said, it was also panicking in my regular life. Like, how am I going to make this? I mean, I don't know. And I'm still in that place, but I'm like a little bit more open and saying, okay, well, let's just see how this goes. But like, for most of the past few months, it's been really weighing on me, I guess. And I've been thinking about it a lot, and that reflected the storytelling and the ability to focus and I don't know. So we'll see. I think this next season, we have it to get, you know, we'll see what comes up. And I just like, I really appreciate this opportunity because I have this whole sandbox, like this idea I have for this next season. It'll actually like, intersect with something else we're going to be doing later on, which will allow them to complement each other as far as my learning process goes about these kind of stories. And it'll allow me to address issues in the podcast that I like between the interplay between personal conflicts and fictional story conflicts and growth and healing and adventure and characters that are intriguing and curiosity sparking, along with the terribly fearing inducing, but also exciting thing of like, geez, can I tell a story like this kind of story or not? And already this story also has some of the same issues as the last one. Like, geez, will I have time to do that kind of story? Or if not, how will I compensate? Like, will I be able to put that kind of thing together in a week, even if I focus? And how will I do it? And the answer is, I don't know, but how lucky am I? So thank you so much. I don't know what to say. I mean, geez, how lucky am I to be able to tell these stories and, you know, have an audience, you know, there's some audiences, yes, some of you are listening all the way through and hearing all this, and some of you, you know, it's just bouncing off their ears, but it doesn't, to me, that really doesn't matter. That's like a popular question I get asked. And I think it comes back to this, you see that what I'm saying is like, how lucky am I that I get to provide the story? Like, I'm still the one telling the story, and that it has the challenge of producing the story. So whether you're awake or asleep, I guess it doesn't really matter, because I still take it the same way, you know. It's like, okay, well, I want to do the best job I can, and I want to learn from where we've come from. And, you know, there really isn't like a way to break story or exactly how to structure it or exactly how to do it. It's like, for me, it's like, oh, is this, can I get a decent structure this season? It's a good question, but there's no rules. So everyone's like, well, I don't know what structure, what structure did that story follow? Okay, well, will that follow this one? Did that have a structure? I don't know. They'll be like watching a lot of movies and TV shows. And then saying, well, geez, will that work for me? Or, well, would I do that? I don't know. But I don't know. Like, to be able to have to grapple with those problems is like, it's thrilling. It's absolutely thrilling. So thank you so much and good night.
All right, but this is Scooter. This is Weeks in Review. And this is where I run through my Weeks in Review stuff. What was on Sleep With Me Plus in the past month. And what you can expect to see on in the public feed too. Now I have if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus or you're already signed up for Sleep With Me Plus, I highly recommend using a podcast app that allows search within the feeds, but using just one podcast app for Sleep With Me Plus content only, and then keeping your other podcasts, your daytime podcasts, in whatever app you use now. And I would just check out a couple podcast apps you could choose from on Apple are Overcasts, iCatcher, Pocket Casts. And on Android, you could try out Pocket Casts or Podcast Addict. For this example, I have the only thing I have in my app is the Boar Friends level. I have four podcasts, the ad-free full episodes, the story-only episodes. Nothing in Sleep With Me Plus has ads except for the really old episodes in the archives. We got the story-only versions of the show, the all-intro, all-night versions of the show, and then the bonus episodes. So let's start with the bonus episodes, actually. So Saturday, a new Posty episode came out. It was one that Russell loved, and that came out, and that's in the bonus feed. You know, some people like listening to Posty Super Deluxe episodes during the day. Some people sleep to them, and so that one is in the bonus feed. And then looks like we got a bonus coming out for Boar Besties and Boar Friends on Thursday of this week, which is April 15th when I'm recording this. And then we have another Posty Super Deluxe came out a couple weeks ago. That was a picnic lunch with Scooter. And that's in the bonus feed. And that makes just so much easier for those of you that don't like automate your playlist or anything, just to kind of build and choose how you want to listen. That's popping the all intro, all night episodes. I know an all-intro episode is coming out this Thursday. Last Thursday was Make Great Pets Season 1 Part 2, almost 6 hours. It's about the max length we can get and have a good file size. So that was like 7 episodes of Make Great Pets. April 3rd, an all-intro episode came out. And then we had... March is at bonus episodes. So there was another all intro episode. So that's in the all intro all night feed. And again, like so much easier, like these all intros. Is that what everything that's in there? 277 episodes split between all. So if you love all intros, I bet 200 of those are all intros, maybe even more. And then in the store, both in the story only episode feed and then in the all ad free feed. Let's run through the new episodes. Bring It On Week started last week. So we had 12:54 was our first watch along where I watched half of the movie Bring It On. Wednesday was 12:53, Ben Broughton, the Crayon Rambler. That was one of those episodes that had an intro that I said I should make an episode based on this intro. Went to make an episode based on the intro, and it went in an even another direction of what if there was an RPG game based on the movie Bring It On, which led me to figure out I never watched Bring It On. Let me learn more. Then I ended up watching Bring It On. Then April 7th was Alba Sabelik's, like, we're getting ready, big announcement, if I haven't made it anywhere. We're going to do 3 seasons of a crossover with Alba Salix. That's cool. That's something we're looking forward to doing. And that was episode 1 of that. or that was the one we did originally. Then 12:52 was the finale of the Great British Bake Off, and episode 10. Then Multiplex 5, Tiki Transistor Hut, that was a good one. 12:50, one of my favorite episodes, probably in the past few years, a Wildy Wonka tour that came out of like some news articles about the experience. And I said, this has got to be an episode. And that will be a series. I mean, like a recurring thing. Then Great British Bake Off, episode 9, Patissier. And Multiplex episode 4. And then we're back to our last audio news. So it's everything. Again, if you ever need support, support at supercast.com is there to help you. Though if you're listening to this episode, I'm assuming you're not like, you don't need support. But if you do, and the other thing is like, yeah, these this is my main way to communicate. I learned this on Patreon. Most people just don't read their emails from Supercast or from me. And most people aren't on our Discord or follow our social media. And so these messages are how the majority of supporters get their information. I do it in a sleepy voice because there's like, I put it in at the end of the free show too. But this is a kind of key way, but these episodes are easy to skip, especially if you're just using one podcast app, right? And building your playlists. From that podcast app. So yeah, thanks everybody for supporting the show. Reach out if you have any feedback at sleepwithmepodcast.com. If you need support at supercast.com, and good night.